Well, good morning, everyone. And a resounding response. Good morning, everyone. That's better. That's great. Great to be here. I'm a little bit worried because we're on a time schedule. I'm just worried that there's a trap door somewhere down here. So if I hear any creaking sounds, you may see me moving about a bit up at the 10-minute stage. So it's just so I don't want to avoid going under. I'm just amazed to see all you marathon runners change so quickly to come back into church this morning. Incredible the way you do that. I don't know about you, one of my favourite events in both the Commonwealth Games and Olympic Games is the marathon. I love watching the marathon. And perhaps it's because, as you can see from my physique, I'm a marathon runner. And actually, running is one of my shortfalls, one of many of my shortfalls. And I remember some time ago saying to my son, Jono, mate, I've got on the treadmill again. And being the encouraging son that he is, says, that's great, Dad. Soon you'll be able to turn it on and find another challenge. I don't know whether you ever noticed how many times the Apostle Paul in the New Testament writes about the Christian life being like running a race or running a marathon. And Paul has in mind the Isthmian Games in Corinth, which in those days was like a second fiddle to the Olympics, a bit like our Commonwealth Games. And I want to share with you some verses, just 150. If you look at the screen behind me, these are some of the things that Paul says about the marathon we're in. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Philippians 3, I think we're back a bit. Philippians 3, yep, that's it. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now Galatians 2:2. I went in response to a revelation, and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, and I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and that I had not been running my race in vain. Galatians 5:7. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? And finally, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. One of the exciting things is that if you are a follower of Jesus, you are not a short sprinter, unless you make a deathbed conversion, of course. But most of us are marathon runners. We're in for the long race of following Jesus. And over the years, Australia's had some great marathon runners. Robert DiCostella, Steve Monaghetti, Lisa Ondieki, Karen McCann, Pat Farmer. And for those of you a little bit older, you remember Cliff Young? Remember, yeah, running from Sydney to Melbourne. And of course, my name's there as well. If you check out how they ran the marathon, you'll find that there are five keys to them being successful marathon runners, which apply also to us in running the marathon of following Jesus. Let me share them very quickly with you. First of all, a marathon runner runs with a purpose. Usually a marathon runner does it for personal achievement, to achieve sporting excellence, to win, to break a record, to get the prize, to gain fame and recognition, or to bring honour to their country. In the marathon of following Jesus, it's not about personal success. It's not about recognition. It's not about fame. In fact, it's not about me at all. Our focus has shifted. And in the marathon of following Jesus, we now run and live life for Jesus. Not for me anymore. We run and live life for Jesus. Our purpose in running is to pursue a deeper relationship with Jesus, a more intimate relationship with Jesus. Our purpose in running is to become more and more like him as we travel further along that marathon. Our purpose in running is to express our love and our appreciation to him for all that he's done for us, particularly on the cross. Our purpose in running is to let him live his life out through us so that he can continue his presence and ministry in the world. Our purpose in running is to bring glory to to Jesus and to the Father. Philippians 1, Paul says, for me to live is Christ. In other words, I run for Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 10, he said, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It's all about Jesus. Secondly, a marathon runner follows the rules. Well, most of the times. And running the marathon of following Jesus involves taking time to read and familiarize ourselves with the rules or the instruction book that God has given to us. It's a matter of listening daily to his word and then acting upon it. It's listening for the coach's instructions when he gives you personal instructions at the beginning of the day or throughout the day and acting upon them again. It's allowing Jesus' rules to shape our lives and how we run the race. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you run the race. The third thing, a marathon runner gives their all. If you've noticed any marathon runner, everything's about the marathon. It's their number one priority, and it comes first over everything else. And everything in their life revolves around running the race. They're prepared to make any sacrifices necessary to get into the race in the first place. And then as they run, you can see I've still got it, haven't I? Yeah. As they run, they give every ounce of energy they've got, no matter what the conditions and no matter what the personal cost. They give everything they've got to winning that race, to running that race. And they leave nothing in their tank. There's a story in 1968 of the country of Tanzania selected John Stephen Akwari to represent it in the Mexico City Olympics. And along the race course for the marathon, Akwari stumbled and fell, severely injuring both his knee and his ankle. By 7 p.m. that day, a runner from Ethiopia had won the race, and all the other competitors had finished and been cared for. And just a few thousand spectators were left in the huge stadium when a police siren sounded, and at the gate was everyone's attention. For limping through that gate came number 36, Akwari, leg wrapped in a bloody bandage and hobbling into the stadium. And those present began to cheer like we've done this morning as the courageous man completed the final lap of the race. And later, a reporter asked him the question on everyone's mind, why did you continue the race after you were so badly injured? He said, my country didn't send me 7,000 miles to begin a race. They sent me to finish the race and to give everything I have so I've got nothing left in my tank. That's what we're on about. In the marathon of following Jesus, in view of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, in view of the prize that awaits at the end, we are called to give our all, everything we have, to following him, to make following Jesus our number one priority in life, and so much so that everything else in our life revolves around that marathon. Everything else is secondary. We are called upon to deal radically with anything in our lives that's slowing down our progress, that's stopping us being effective runners. We're called upon to put the time and the study and the effort and receiving ministry and prayer, if we need it, to being a more effective runner. We're called to follow Jesus passionately, not casually, not simply when I'm in trouble or it's convenient, not simply when I'm around other marathon runners, but to follow Jesus with great passion, 24/7, giving the most we can give as time goes along. Jesus actually said that to us. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 27, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. Not some, not casually, but all. And in Philippians 3:13, Paul said, forgetting what is past and leaning forward to what's ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize. Now, if that all sounds humanly impossible, let me say it is. It is. And what we need to remember is that Jesus is alongside us as we run that marathon race. He's constantly there 24/7. And he's there to lead you, to show you the way through all the obstacles and temptations and distractions. He's there to encourage you, often with a hand around your shoulder, say, come on, we can do it together. We're going to get there. Keep going. He's there to pick us up when we stumble and fall over. He's there to heal us when we're bruised and grazed from running the race. He's there to help us and bring us back on track when, if you're like me, you often veer off the track. He's there to fill us with his Holy Spirit. And he, the Spirit, will give us all the power we need to run that race in Jesus' footsteps, particularly when we're tired and faint and feel like we can't continue. Is it any wonder Paul said in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we're called to give our all. Fourthly, a marathon runner takes in. And you've often seen the run this morning was a good example, taking in the lollies are out the front, but they often take in water filled with scotch and all that sort of stuff. No, just minerals. They say it's minerals. They take in as they go along. And like a marathon runner, we need to take in. We need to take in what will refresh us, what will nourish us, and what will re-energize us for the race. Things like spending time alone with the Lord every day. Things like spending time in worship. Things like reading the Word of God. Things like receiving prayer ministry that will free us up to run more effectively. Reading biographies of other runners who've run the race before us. Inviting the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh so that we have the power to keep moving. We need to take in order to keep going. And you know, it's really interesting. I've watched marathon runners, and I know from personal experience that if you've got teammates running with you, you're constantly watching out for them as well, making sure they are going okay in the race, and if they have fallen down or dropping behind, going after them and encourage them to move forward. And we need to do that too. We're not a bunch of individuals running this race. We're running it together as a team. We're on the same side, right? You don't look real convinced. Yeah, we're on the same side. And we need to be sensitive to each other's journey. And when you see somebody falling away, when you see somebody struggling, when you see somebody hurting, to go and lift them up and encourage them to keep going. Like we said this morning, to pat them on the back. I love the story about a president of a special disabilities Olympics who was giving a talk to a large audience. And during the question time that followed, someone asked him to describe the best moment for him as president of that year's Olympics. And without any hesitation, he told about a 100-metre run. Six developmentally challenged kids lined up in a stadium filled with 50,000 people. And these kids had prepared for this event all year. They each wanted to win. And although they couldn't run very well, they would give it their very best effort. The gun went off, and off all six began to run. But at about the 50-metre mark, one of the six runners fell down, face first on the track. And the other five runners took a couple more steps and then stopped. They looked back and saw the fallen runner. Then, to the surprise of the crowd, they all went back, helped the fallen runner to his feet, joined hands, and continued the race. And all of them crossed the finishing line at the same moment. And they all got a gold medal. Guys, that's what we're meant to be to one another. Lock arms, lift one another up, and run together. We need to take in not only nourishment for ourselves, but where our other runners are. Finally, let me tell you this. The marathon runner remains focused. In a marathon race, the eyes of the runners are fixed on the finishing line, the prize, the glory and the praise. And they're so concentrated on their goal that their eyes never leave it. And as they come down that final stretch, they are exhausted, often in agony, and feeling as though they can't take another step. But suddenly, there's the finishing line. There's the prize waiting for them. And a new burst of energy ticks in, and on they go. In the marathon of following Jesus, it's an exciting adventure, but let me tell you, it's a marathon course through obstacles, temptations, distractions, troubles, at times suffering, and certainly opposition from the world around us and spiritual forces. And the key to persevering, the key to hanging in there is with the Holy Spirit's empowering to keep our eyes fixed on one person, Jesus Christ, for the whole of the race, from the beginning to the end, if we're to finish the race and win the prize. And what is that prize that he has in store for us? Well, the runner in the Isthmian Games received a prize in the form of a garland of flowers that didn't last very long. How exciting. The prize we receive is awesome, totally awesome. We will see Jesus face to face, and we will see him standing at the finishing line, arms opening, encouraging us in those last few metres. And we'll hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And part of the prize will be Jesus himself. He is the prize and he is the reward. And if we got nothing else, that would be sufficient enough to satisfy our hearts for eternity, being with Jesus. But there is more, along with steak knives. We will receive a crown. We will see the crown of righteousness. In other words, we will be transformed exactly into the likeness of Jesus. And we will receive the crown of eternal life. And Jesus will say, come with me. And he'll call us to the life in heaven above, which will be totally awesome, where we will be with Jesus and all the other marathon runners throughout time forever and ever and ever. And there'll be no more sickness, no more suffering, no more pain, no more death, no more hair loss. All those things will be gone forever. And we will spend eternity in our coach's presence, a place of joy, a place of peace, a place of his love, a place of activity. You know, the Apostle Paul said, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man ever dreamed of, God has prepared for those who love him. He's saying, you can't believe how great it's going to be when you get to that finishing line and you're called above. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a great theologian in Germany and was executed just before the end of World War II. And as he walked to the gallows where he was about to be hanged, he said, death for me is not the end. It's the beginning of life. It's the beginning of life. And that's what will be waiting for you. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. I hope that you're in the on the marathon. If you're not, I'd be happy to talk to you about it after the service. But if you are in that marathon, let me encourage you to keep running with a purpose. Keep following the rules. Keep giving your all. Keep taking in. And keep remaining focused on the finishing line and what Jesus has for you. The finishing line is just ahead. It's around the bend, over the hill, and through some trees. And believers, marathon runners from the past who have gone ahead, are crowding the grandstands and they are awaiting your triumphant finish. And each step brings you closer to that glorious day where the best is yet to come. Amen.